All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the person of God may be fully equipped to do God's will. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that through the power of your Holy Spirit, you will open up your scriptures to us and enable us to accept them in our hearts and minds, so that you can continue your transforming work within us. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Each week during this series on discipleship, which will be running until the first Sunday of Advent, which I think is December the 2nd, there will be sheets at the back of church to take away for further study. We've actually run out of week one, but I will be able to now send them on to Jen, who can send them out to you if you need them. And we will be trying to keep past weeks at the back of church so that you can pick them up. If I ask nothing of you this year except this, please do read each week. If you're not here, listen to the recordings on the website. At most services, the preaching will be different because we're having different people doing it. It's slightly different this week, but it's pretty much the same. On the back of this week's are a few tips on how to share the good news. Now, please forgive me, because I've had a really, really strange week. I lost all my communication devices this week, and so therefore I've had to put this together pretty much in the middle of the night. So I have not checked for grammatical errors or punctuation marks, but I hope that the Word of God comes through this. So please do study this series on discipleship, because it's so important for our future as individuals, but also as a church here in St. Margaret's. I want to tell you an account that I've read of. The names of the people have been changed to protect their anonymity. Hee-woo was born in North Korea and was sent to prison for trying to escape her repressive homeland. In her botched escape attempt to China, she found Christianity and learned parts of the scripture by copying out in longhand the Bible. Back in prison in Korea, the guards enjoyed torturing the inmates. Cruelty was everywhere. Every single day she was hit hard with sticks, and when she fell down, she'd just be kicked repeatedly. One day, when she felt as though she couldn't carry on any further and just felt like giving up and dying, she heard a loud voice proclaiming, "My beloved daughter, you are walking on water." And looking around, she saw that nobody else had heard the voice and knew that God had not forgotten her. During that 10 months, she became very ill, and about halfway through, she was given 3 days to live by the camp doctor. She wasn't given any medicine, but she prayed that God would save her from this illness so that she could escape again and start to tell people about what's happening in North Korea. And she prayed that the guards, who, as I said, until that point had been very, very cruel, would actually help her. And because they thought that she was going to die, they started to give her a little more food. And 5 months later, she was completely cured despite no medicine. It really was a miracle. At the end of that 10 months, she and other prisoners who were there were packed into a bus and taken to one of the 6 labor camps that there are in North Korea. It's estimated that there are about 200,000 people living within them, mostly because people have spoken out against the regime. And we don't know the numbers, but Open Doors think about 30,000 of those people are Christians. Christians who have not been identified by the authorities, because if they had been, they would have been killed virtually straight away. during this time in the work, in the labor camp, the Holy Spirit would prompt her to share her faith with specific people, and they too became Christians. She used the verses that she had learned and remembered to teach and encourage others. And when she saw people who were very ill, she'd do their washing for them. It's in those little acts of kindness that the gospel is shared, just as much as it is through words. Offering, as she said, a message of hope inside hell on earth, she won a handful of converts and a tiny secret church was formed. On Sundays and principal holidays, the faithful few would gather to worship in the toilets or another unwatched corner of their wretched home. They knew that if they were found, they faced certain death. Can I tell you that of that small church, every single one of them came out alive? And that truly is a miracle. Their faith enabled them to continue despite little food. They had up to 9 spoonfuls of rice a day, and much of the day was spent in hard, enforced labour. They'd be marched out, work in the fields, short stop for lunch, and then they'd carry on. So it was hard for them physically, but it was equally hard mentally, because every night for at least an hour they would have to sit there and describe their own faults and failings, but also tear apart those who worked and lived alongside them. Can you imagine spending a whole hour having to pull other people to shreds, but hearing how worthless and sinful you are? Christians were not capable of revolutionary acts, and so were enemies, said Hiwu, explaining how she was taught to hate Christians prior to her conversion. Every form of religion, and especially Christianity, was like opium, addictive and destructive. I heard stories about Christians who went to hospitals, enticed people into cellars, killed them there, and sucked the blood out of their bodies so that they could sell it. The thought of it was horrifying to me. That's how Christianity is put down in that nation. Open Doors reckons that there are between 200,000 and 400,000 Christians living in that country. There is a very small state-recognized church, but it is very, very closely monitored. There are no priests preaching or presiding there. And so the message that is heard in that church, I'll leave you to draw your own conclusions. Meanwhile, I want to tell you about Kim Yoon Jin's family. They used to meet in her home once a week to pray and worship together. They had to sing and praise God and pray in whispers for fear that the neighbours would hear them. And often they'd have their heads covered so that they really kept sound to a minimum, because if they were heard, they knew that they would be sold to the authorities. And unfortunately, her father was taken into captivity because somebody found out that he did run a church. By that time, it wasn't only their immediate family who were meeting there, but because the immediate family had seen the way that the lives of this small family were transformed, because they seemed to have a peace and a joy that nobody else around them had, others had asked what was happening. And so the family meeting had grown to the wider family and some friends as well. Kim Yoon-jin's grandmother had a copy of an Imperial Japanese Bible, and so she painstakingly translated into Korean several parts of the Bible. And they had a copy of that that they had to keep hidden. She believes that her father was killed as soon as he was taken into captivity. In May, the mutilated body of a Chinese pastor who had helped defectors was found along the border with North Korea. Han Chung-il, who dedicated... Han Chung-il, who dedicated his life to helping North Koreans materially and spiritually, had been hacked to death with an axe. It's believed by the Christian aid worker community that he was murdered by North Korean agents. He was famous for the last two decades for helping North Korean refugees, obviously on the Chinese side of the border. This man was stabbed 18 times and murdered in cold blood, obviously for the reason of helping defectors. Those of you who are at New Wine this year may know that money was raised to buy Korean Bibles. I think about 40,000 Bibles were purchased, and they will be smuggled into North Korea. The people who are smuggling them in will be sentenced to death for having even one copy in their possession. The people to whom they are given face certain death if they are found in possession of a Bible, even if it's not open. And yet they are crying out for them. They are desperate to obtain a copy of the scriptures and to spend as much time as they can reading and inwardly digesting it. And their lives are being transformed and their numbers are growing. This is a Korean Bible. It was given to Doug from St. Peter's in Woodmansterne on the understanding that he would hold it up in church. The scriptures in our own language have the ability to transform individuals and communities if they are read and shared. It's no use having a Bible if it sits in a drawer all the time and doesn't come out. Did anybody here watch Michael Palin's most recent show? Can you remember what he was asked on the border going into North Korea? Anybody else? Yes. They asked if he had a Bible on him. They asked if he had a Bible on him. What is it about the scriptures that is so powerful that that is what border control asks you about? And what is the good news? What is the gospel? What's the good news that's contained in here? Growing up, I was taught that the good news was that if I said sorry and accepted God as my Lord and Saviour, that I would go to heaven when I died. But as Ronald Sider, who wrote The Scandal of the Evangelical Conscience, wrote, when Christians today reduce the gospel to forgiveness of sins, they are offering a one-sided heretical message that is flatly unfaithful to the Jesus they worship as Lord and God. Only if we recover Jesus' gospel of the kingdom and allow its power to so transform our sinful selves that our Christian congregations, always imperfect to be sure, become visible, holy signs of the dawning kingdom, will we be faithful to Jesus. Only then will our evangelistic words recover integrity and power. Only when we recover Jesus's gospel of the kingdom and allow its power to so transform our sinful selves that our Christian congregations become visible, holy signs of the dawning kingdom, will we be faithful to Jesus. Only then will our evangelistic words recover integrity and power. I think I've told you before about a wonderful priest I knew when I lived in Wales called John Vever. He was a priest for 20 years before he actually came to faith. apparently during that time he'd been quite a powerful preacher. Some people had been really affected with his sharing of the word. And then he became a Christian. And boy, did his ministry take off. Because then he spoke with integrity. Then he spoke knowing a relationship with God. His words had passion and life. And as I've said, integrity. And so many people came to know our Lord and Saviour through his preaching. The word of God has the power to transform our lives. Once we start reading and meditating on the scriptures, we can start to realise that our knowledge or faith is incomplete. In fact, if you talk to most people about what Christians believe or about the Christian story, you start to realise that a lot of it is folk religion. It's sort of half truths that have been absorbed and taken in, but it's not quite there. It's vital that we all read and know our Bibles so that we know what the truth is that is contained here and don't live on a faith that isn't accurate. But it's also important that we read and know our Bibles so that we can discern and challenge what we may hear in the pulpit. Because sometimes priests get it wrong. And sometimes priests have been led astray and can lead other people astray. Never just believe what you hear somebody preaching. If you think it doesn't tie in with the Bible, check it out and challenge it. Because the worst thing we can have is somebody preaching something that is not truth and leading people astray. Perhaps more importantly, however, is the fact that the more time we spend reading God's word and reflecting upon it, the more we're inspired, encouraged, and assured. When we keep reading of God's love, we start to realise that we are loved. And actually, isn't that a fundamental need within all of us? No matter how strong a marriage, can your spouse ever truly make you feel totally loved, unconditionally loved? Don't answer that. Perhaps you've all got wonderful marriages. But God loves us unconditionally. He loves us as we are. He accepts us. He tells us how much we are valued. And he shows us through what he has done, through what Christ did, just how much we are loved. And when we're loved, we're in a position of strength. And when we see how much he loves other people, no matter what they have done to hurt us, or how terribly they seem to behave, that love that he has for us, that forgiveness and mercy and grace that he has shown us, comes alive, and we can start to love other people in the same way. Even those who abuse us. The words in that book are powerful. There's a huge difference between doing what we ought or what we feel we must do because it will somehow earn us credit and doing what we have inspired to do. The first is done from a sense of duty. We are commanded to do that, so we must do it. And there are times that actually in our lives we will have to exercise that discipline to do what we are commanded when, to be honest, our hearts aren't in it. Perhaps because of other things that have happened. But it shouldn't be a continual state of affairs. The second is done through fear that somehow if we fail to earn God's love, or we will fail to get to heaven. And that's very bad theology. Because we have a God who loves us. And there is nothing we can do to make him love us more. And there's nothing we can do to make him love us less. We do not earn our way to heaven. We do not earn our salvation. We do not earn fullness of life now. We have a God of grace. What God hopes will happen is that we do things because when we see his love for us, and we do need to keep seeing it every single day, and when we hear the cries of those who walk in darkness, we should be overwhelmed by a desire to share the good news with those who haven't heard it. Not because we're like the Jehovah's Witnesses who have to do so much visiting to earn salvation, but because actually I love everybody and I don't want them to go through life not knowing God. Because having God in my life is the best thing that's happened to me. How can I wish for any less for anybody else? On the back of the sheet, as I said, there are a few basic pointers to sharing the good news. If you're not used to doing it, there are a few easy ways it can start to become a habit. I can't remember if I put on the back of it, as I say, it was in the early hours of one morning, that actually an important thing as well is having the Holy Spirit within our lives and asking him or her daily to prepare the way before us. I cannot tell you the number of times that I have been prompted to go and visit somebody or phone them up or contact them or pray for them. And then later on they've said, oh, do you know, you came at just the right time. Sometimes that has physically saved lives. The Holy Spirit is really, really important in our lives. We cannot get by without the Holy Spirit. So to sum up, can I remind you that the good news has the power to bring salvation? As He Wu said, the good news brings hope to those existing in a living hell. The good news has the power to bring transformation in our lives, equipping and enabling and encouraging us to do things that we feel totally unable to do, totally inadequate for, and bringing us a peace and a joy that don't really make any sense in this world. The good news tells us that we are loved unconditionally. The good news teaches us what was in Jesus' time and still is now a radical, countercultural way of living. And it's no use just dabbling with it. It's no use just putting your toes in the ocean. God wants us to jump in and swim. That's when lives are changed. That's when the kingdom comes on earth. It's a way that brings fullness of life. It's a way that brings peace in a world that doesn't really know it. If we see how we are loved and say we love others, how can not sharing it even be on the radar? You are loved. You've been offered fullness of life now and an eternity with the one who created us. How can you not share it?